This episode is brought to you by Impossible Foods. When the world is telling you to eat less meat because it's bad for the environment and bad for your health, Impossible Foods wants you to eat more meat. Yes, that company that makes meat from plants, Impossible Foods. By creating delicious, nutrient-packed meat from plants that's better for the planet. Impossible lets you enjoy some of your favorite meaty products with a plant-based twist. Ground beef, home-style meatballs, sausage patties, and so much more. All made from plants. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com.
Just a reminder that Diet Starts Tomorrow is a podcast for entertainment purposes only. It is not a medical podcast and does not constitute medical advice. Always seek the advice of a physician or a health professional. Betches Media presents
Diet Starts Tomorrow.
But I stand behind my decision to avoid salad and other disgusting things.
With hosts Remy Casimir.
I'll have what she's having.
And Emily Lubin.
Remember, shoot like you'd have a secret.
We're here to amuse
your boosh.
Hello and welcome to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Emily.
And I am Remy, and you guys, we've been talking so much about breakfast, not breakfast, even though Yom Kippur just did happen, but breakfast, and specifically my struggle with like finding things to eat for breakfast. I know it's an important meal, but I just never know what to do. So we wanted to invite someone on the show who could give us some tips and unpack all things breakfast with us. She actually sent me a whole list after I talked about it on my story, and she is also Jared Freed's registered dietitian. You guys, welcome returning guest of the podcast, but first time guest for us, registered dietitian and health coach, Alex Turoff.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Welcome, welcome.
It's good to be back.
Glad to have you back. Glad to meet you in person.
Very exciting.
You're a fan favorite guest. People have requested you back, so we're so
excited. Nice to know.
Yeah. Probably your sparkly personality, which matches this sparkly shirt that you're wearing today.
It's amazing.
First off, before we get into all things breakfast, what's your main focus, would you say, as a dietitian?
Okay, so it's hard to distill into words because I find myself very much in the messy middle of the nutrition space. Mm-hmm. I find that I agree with a lot of different things, and I think that really goes to the bigger idea that there is no one right way to eat. It really comes down to how it integrates into your life and your history. So I work with people one-on-one, and I really get to the bottom of their history with food, eating, mental health. So I kind of look at myself as being the intersection of how can we incorporate healthier habits while still honoring your relationship to food, your goals, if they're appropriate for you. So I'm not against any one thing. Well, there are some things I'm against. I shouldn't say that. But you know, when someone asks me about keto, I can find an argument for a specific individual why that might be an appropriate approach. Mm-hmm. But overall, I just want to help people become normal around food, not think about it for hours a day, just be able to enjoy it and really love it and take some of that stress out.
Do you think you can do keto and not think about food all day? Like, I'm thinking about Vinny from Jersey Shore.
Yeah, the keto Guido.
The keto.
I was just thinking that, like, being keto, to me, that's the opposite of being normal around food.
Yes. So something like that, where there is some clinical benefits, if you, for example, epilepsy.
Yeah.
That, or traumatic brain injury. So there's, like, some research for football players who suffer from that. I would never, if someone came to me, though, and they were passionate about keto and they were looking for a dietitian, I would not turn them away, but I would probably first start working with them. I would explain the science to them, and then I would say, hey, let's reevaluate this in a few weeks once we start working together and see if you're open to another approach. Yeah. Because my fear, especially in the nutrition space, is that we're all so vocal about all of these things that are bad and dieting is bad, but
some diets are necessary. Like, I know that people are prescribed diets sometimes because it's like, okay, you're pre-diabetic, so you have to cut out A, B, C, D.
Yeah, and I think there are certain times, some people need more structure. I think when you also talk about the eating disorder space, which is where I started, I no longer work with people who are in active eating disorder. They sometimes need more structure, where an intuitive eating approach is something we can get to later. Mm-hmm. But so there's just so many different variables that I don't also want to take someone who's at this really kind of stressed out place and say, I can't help you, because then they're going to go to someone who's going to give them a crazy diet mm-hmm. and allow that. Instead, I try to meet someone where they're at and help them break down the reasons, like, hey, here's the research on keto. It's not a magical solution. If it helps you think less about food and you're truly living your most, your best life
and
doing
if you
it,
love bacon.
If you love it, great. I will also explain that the long-term research isn't really there for cardiovascular health. Mm. You know, we know, again, it can be appropriate in like a traumatic brain injury setting mm-hmm. or when there's something like that. And that in that case, if it is an extreme approach, you're also dealing with these extreme lifestyle needs. So it can be worth it. But for the average person, I don't like any diet with a label.
Okay.
Okay.
And it's not one size fits all yeah. with you. It's very tailored to the person themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's your personal philosophy when it comes to food? Like, how do you approach eating and nutrition?
I would like to say it's an all foods fit approach. There's no such thing as good foods or bad foods, but there are some foods that are more nutritious and less nutritious. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make you bad or good for eating them. Mm-hmm. Taking some of that moral part of it out of the equation. I really think of myself as being very evidence-based. So if there is no research, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's nonsense, but you're never going to see me on Instagram going down the supermarket pointing out what foods are going to kill you, because no one food is going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really about your overall pattern of eating. So I want to help people make good choices so they can live longer, feel good, but also enjoy social things, enjoy cultural foods, and all of the fun stuff that comes with food.
Yeah. And you're a personal trainer as well, right?
I am.
Do you actively train people right now?
So I really used that a lot while I was in college and grad school. So I taught spin, and it was really a means to an end. It was great. I don't have the personality for it.
I was just going to say, you have to be an Energizer bunny.
I hate having the playlists for it.
Yeah. I have the playlist for
it. Okay. Oh, she's got the playlist down. Yeah,
that's
a very
important part, I think, of spin.
Yes. And I am a coach. So I work with people all the time, but I'm much more of a one-on-one coach where we can dig into things and talk it through. I'm not like that rah-rah motivator. I just don't have that in me.
Mm-hmm.
But I will help people create workout plans. For my own personal fitness, I'm not someone who follows a structured program every week. I do what feels good. So people hate on, you know, cycling, and they hate on running, or cardio's bad these days and Pilates is good, or this is bad. It's whatever you get moving, whatever you like, whatever you're going to stick to. And then if you are at the level where you're like, you know what, I want to take it up a notch, I have a specific goal. Okay. Let's talk about having, you know, one upper body day, one lower body day. But for the majority of people, that's going to be enough to get to where you feel good. You don't necessarily need to follow these crazy splits and do all mm-hmm. this, mm-hmm. you know.
Or like bulking season and cutting season
and all
that stuff.
You're always in a phase. You're always in a phase. And most people live their life, not most people who are affected by food, which is a lot of people, always in this perpetual weight loss phase. Even if they're not actively losing weight, they're always thinking about losing weight. And mm-hmm. that can be just as toxic, if not more. So I do explain to people, different than other dietitians, and I know you had my friend Jenna Werner on, and one of my best friends, and she has, well, you know, we talk a lot about this because there's this, the anti-diet space with dietitians, there's a huge divide between the two. And I actually think a lot of us are more so in the middle, where we can see why someone might have a weight loss goal and we might be able to honor that, but we need to know a lot more information first.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it really, all of it comes down to, I wish everyone had the ability to work with someone one-on-one, but we can't. So I spent a lot of time just putting out information, because I had a troubled relationship with food growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And something that really helped me was going to school and learning. And once I learned about what was in food, how much my body actually needed to function, a lot of the fear went away. So I try to, whenever I'm putting out content online, have it be super actionable, super like, hey, this isn't good or bad. Here's the information, and you can make your own decision.
Mm-hmm.
What can you talk a little more about that? What was your relationship with food like?
Yeah. So growing up, I mean, I like to say I can't blame anything on my parents, because they really didn't do anything wrong. But I was I never really learned how to eat properly. So my diet was really bad. I was super picky and I wasn't active. I grew up in Brooklyn. I did like some dance, but I wasn't playing sports or anything like that. So it was a little bit heavier as a child. And I know you've spoken about your history with that. Mm-hmm. Looking back on it, I'm like, I was fine.
Yeah, you know, yeah. It's so funny. Like, kids are so mean. There are sometimes when you're not even that heavy, but if you deviate from the norm at all, you will get bullied.
Yes. So I went through a period where I was like, I want to lose weight. How do you lose weight? You start at this time it was LiveJournal and Tumblr, like
yes.
Zynga.
Yes.
Zynga. Yes. So you would go on these message boards and you would look up how to lose weight. And it was like, that was the Nicole Richie era. She's coming back. Tracy Anderson.
Yeah.
Like those kinds of things. The Sacred Heart Diet. It was crazy stuff. So you would follow that. And you would. I went to college. And I think because I was in college, you kind of just eat in the dining hall. But you don't really know what you're doing. And I probably like masked a lot of the disordered eating. Because you're drinking. Then you're eating. So your weight isn't reflecting how disordered you are.
Yeah.
And then I actually wanted to go into journalism. So I wound up getting an internship writing for more of a lifestyle website. And they had me writing some nutrition content. And that sort of led me. I was at NYU, so it was easy to change and go and intern and do all this stuff. So then that led me into that space. I interned at the National Eating Disorder Association. So I started trying that hat on.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little too much for me. And then I sort of found my way into a more, you know, all foods fit kind of just like, let's help people figure out how to eat. The people like me who just want to know those Women's Day magazines, like what are all these headlines mean? What should I actually be doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's if you want to see a dietitian who truly knows the struggle, because I think a lot of people struggle with that, like going to see a dietitian and being like, okay, well, they don't really know the difficulties that I'm presented when it comes to food, but it sounds like you really do.
Yeah. And that's also a little iffy because so many dietitians struggled with food.
Yeah.
Like there's a reason why we're in this. They're all very much like therapists. We have our own personal interests. So a lot of us have. And it becomes a problem when you're actively struggling with food and you're a dietitian.
Yeah.
And it can be triggering.
It can be super triggering.
Yeah.
That's true. Because some people do gravitate towards it almost as a way to like
continue that obsession.
Yeah. Warmer weather is finally back. After so many cold months, it's nice to get outside and soak up the sun, but the springtime always brings those unwanted guests, pollen and seasonal allergies. April showers bring spring flowers and sniffly noses and stuffed up sinuses. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I suffer from seasonal allergies. I just had them hit the other day. I couldn't breathe through my nose at all. And I popped a Claritin and it was like night and day. I'm a huge fan of Claritin. I use it on the regular and it always helps when we're making that transition from winter to spring, which is when my allergies flare up. Mainly it's my sinuses that get so clogged and the Claritin just clears it right up. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy throat and nose, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live your life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. This episode is brought to you by Azo. The Azo brand wants the world to stop treating women's health like a dirty word. Because the reality is, UTIs, yeast infections, and bladder control issues are common among women. But dealing with them is an uncommon act that many women are skittish about due to judgment, shame, and inaction. The Azo brand offers probiotics, prebiotics, and vaginal suppositories that help keep your vaginal health in check every day. Like Azo Complete Feminine Balance, designed with a clinically studied probiotic probiotic blend that helps restore natural balance of good bacteria. Also, azo boric acid suppositories support and help with vaginal odor control. And azo dual protection provides extra protection from the common cycle of urinary and vaginal issues. Everyday things like stress, your cycle, sex, and certain medications like antibiotics or the pill can disrupt your vaginal microbiome, allowing unfriendly bacteria to impact pH or extra yeast to grow. Guys, you shouldn't feel ashamed. Azo's got you covered. I'm a big fan of Azo. I actually keep it in my bathroom now because the last thing you want to do when you have a UTI is to run out to the pharmacy. So keep it stocked at home like I do and you never have to worry about it. I cannot recommend it enough. And you can save 20% now with promo code BETCHES on azoproducts.com. Don't know which product you need? Take the quiz to learn more.
There's a lot of talk about like, oh, that intuitive eating dietitian, it's easy for her to say because she's in a smaller body. But she might be in a smaller body because she understands, she already counted macros, she had an eating disorder, she got through it, she went to school for it. Like, she's been through that, but you can't talk about that all the time. So it's just,
yeah. You know what, I was talking to Remy about that exact thing. It's crazy that you brought that up because sometimes it can be difficult to find dietitians who are in larger bodies just purely because they are so in touch with their hunger cues and whatever, that they are at a very stable weight. What that looks like would be different for different people. And I'm sure there are plenty of dietitians in larger bodies that they're at stable weight. But
I had a family friend who his mom was, and her weight was stable. She was in a larger body, but she was stable all the time. And I remember we were talking about kids being mean, people being like, who would ever want to go to her? As that's a nutrition, you know, like, yeah.
I remember I had a teacher who said, like, your body is your calling card. That is so toxic. As personal trainers say it a lot.
Yeah. I remember back in the day when I had not unlearned as much as I have now, there would be certain teachers that I'd go, why would I want to take that class if this is the best that they can do? And it's like, what? Like, you don't know how strong that person is. You don't know what they can do with their body. Like, or I would.
Are you talking
see
about
it.
Like PE teachers?
No, there was a yoga teacher that I used to go to, and she was incredible at yoga. But I remember being like, but her body's not my goal body, which is like, you can't measure it like that.
And you don't know the half of what
you don't
people
know where she
doing.
Started. You don't. Yeah.
Right.
The people who are working out, they're teaching, let's say, SoulCycle. That might not be their only workout. And they're also working out for hours a day. Some of them.
And also, your body just looks different than other people. Mm-hmm. Like, somebody's peak body fitness looks completely different than somebody else's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And on the other side of that, I'm sure that you see this all over your social media. There's like 22-year-old girls who are filming what I eat in a day, and the first shot is their bare stomach. Yeah. And it's like the implication is, well, if you eat like this, then you'll look like me.
I haven't seen that.
Yes. You haven't seen this? Uh-uh. They're everywhere. Probably now that I've said that to you, your phone is listening and we'll show it to you now.
No, phone, close your ears.
But like, that is the implication.
Of course.
That if you eat like this, you'll look like me. But meanwhile, this is a 22-year-old girl. She probably is already thin genetically. You know what I mean? And so you just can't take that
advice. I don't see them being helpful, really. And I know people like them and people have asked me for them. And I always say, I'll give you meal ideas. And I'll let you know, this is how you would, you know, increase it, decrease it, whatever it is, you can take this. But it doesn't necessarily tell the full picture, because there, first of all, how long does it take for me? It would take like 3 hours to put a video like that together and edit it. And like, it's your most perfect day. And people, we're always trying to get a message across. So maybe someone's putting it out and like, let me show that I'm eating like more calories than I am, to get people to think, okay, that I actually am maintaining my weight on higher calories, or the opposite. Let me show them this or that, or it's not balanced with enough protein or carbs or all of this stuff. So I just don't see them being helpful. I understand why people like them, and I know people find them helpful. I've looked at the comments on these things and it's a mess, but I think overall they probably do more harm than good.
Yeah. They're baseline entertaining. Like, I will admit that. It is. There's something entertaining about watching someone eat. Like, mm-hmm. I've always been into like
a mukbang, though, can be different than a this is my bullet pointed list of what I eat in a day for the hope that you might look like me if you do this exact same thing. I'd rather just watch you like slurp pasta.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I loved watching people slurp noodles.
Some people don't. If you have a misophonia, stay away from
pasta. I watch Bethany Frankel on TikTok. She's always eating.
Oh, my God. That shellfish video.
Oh, yeah. What does she love? Does she love cottage cheese?
She loves cottage
cheese. Yeah, she loved it. That's another food that's coming back. How do you feel about the cottage cheese thing?
I mean, just for cottage cheese, I've always loved it.
I love it, too.
Yeah, I grew up and I
don't like the texture.
I grew up on Lutschen and cheese, which is it's like a Eastern European dish, egg noodles, and you mix cottage cheese in.
Yes, with butter and salt. Uh-huh. It's like it's Polish so mac and cheese.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So I didn't really know it was a thing. I was always embarrassed of it because I thought it was such a weird thing that my family ate. Mm. And so one night I was just like on Instagram. I was making my girl dinner, my lazy dinner, which is just egg noodles and cheese. It has carbs, it has protein, and it has fat because you mix a little butter in. And it's actually a really balanced meal. So I love cottage cheese for that. I know people feel weird about the texture.
Yeah, I was going to say, can I sub in ricotta? Because I eat a lot of ricotta.
I love ricotta, especially in something sweet. So this could be a breakfast.
Yeah.
You could do like even like blueberry, thawed fruit is great for making like a little sauce. Put like a little honey or agave in it.
Yeah.
And mix it with the blueberries.
So like I love that. Fruit that's been frozen that then you defrost and mix agave
in. So it has like
in.
That little juice in it too. And you could even reduce it. It makes it almost like a syrup.
How do you reduce things?
In a pan?
You put it in a pan. You just heat it. Yeah.
Oh, usually I just reduce things by eating them.
I was going to say you just insert the blueberries over and over until they feel small. But
because it does need some sweetness. Otherwise it's going to be too tart.
Yeah.
So you need to at least mix a little honey that would thicken it up.
Okay, I love this. I feel like this is a good segue into our breakfast chat. First of all, how important, in your professional opinion, is it to eat breakfast in the morning?
Okay, so I think this is a perfect example of how there is no one right way to do this. Because think about how, for all our life, we've been told that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And like, we have to eat breakfast. You have to eat breakfast. All of a sudden, intermittent fasting became popular online. And now, breakfast is bad. Like, all of the sudden. And now the people who were talking about breakfast all the time. So every meal is important, I like to say. But there's a couple of reasons why breakfast might be more important for you specifically. The number one thing is if you've ever struggled with binge eating of any kind of restriction and binge eating, it's a really bad idea to start messing around with any kind of time-restricted eating or intermittent fasting. It pretty much is never going to end well. And to be honest, most of the people I work with have struggled with some level of binge restrict cycle on different scales. So I, as a rule of thumb, if I'm working with someone and they want to try something like intermittent fasting, I describe that as an advanced level. We're not going to get there. We're not going to start there. I want to start with...
That's 401.
Yeah, I want to start with at least three meals a day, 2 to 3 snacks, give or take. Let's get a baseline so that we can at least know what's going on with your body. That might not be the right thing for you, but we have to start and gather some information so that you can then start playing around. Like, okay, maybe I don't need that morning snack or the afternoon snack and I'd rather have more later. But so many people are just playing so many games with themselves and their eating that they need to return to a baseline. So I would say for the majority of the people listening to this, and I know I love the DST audience. I've been a listener for a long time and a lot of my clients have been DSTers, if you struggled with dieting for a long time, you probably are going to benefit from some kind of breakfast. Doesn't have to be the second you wake up, though.
Yeah.
People push back on that a lot. They're like, I can't eat at 6. You don't need to eat at 6.
That's a lot of pressure. I do agree. That's a little early to just wake up and go straight to the
eggs.
Some
people like coffee. I like coffee first. I posted that one day and people messaged me saying you can't drink coffee before you drink water or before you eat. I'm like, I don't care about any of that
stuff. That's all over TikTok right now. You can't drink coffee on an empty stomach. Is that I assume that you don't think that's true.
No. So I call that stuff like majoring in the minors. Stop majoring in the minors. Like you have so many other things that you can implement first before you get to like your cortisol levels. Your cortisol levels are more messed up from you stressing about what time you're eating coffee. Have your coffee if you like it. Try to get water in too. And those are the types of things that I think are moving people away from even implementing some basic good habits, because it's like, that's impossible for most people.
It also depends on how it hits your stomach. Mm-hmm. There are some people, it hits your stomach and it is not good.
Yeah.
Right. I'm one of those people. I'm like, no, even after like all of my meals, if I have coffee, it's not good for me. I'm wired. I'm jittery. If you have it first thing in the morning and you still feel fine, that sounds like it works for you.
Yeah. That's fine.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there. And they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life. So it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with two U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I totally agree with you about the binge eating thing. Like, if you've struggled with binge eating, because yeah. I used to be a binge eater, it's like, you cannot restrict. And intermittent fasting and all of that stuff, that is restriction. Like, if it's a time window, even if you're not restricting any particular thing you're eating, that is still putting you in that restrictive mindset. And then, like, I just think you can never achieve success like that. So I really appreciate that you said that. But aside from setting yourself up to not binge or to not, you know, go overboard later by restricting now, do you think you maintain more energy throughout the day if you eat breakfast or if you have something in the morning?
Yeah, I hear the argument a lot with intermittent fasting or skipping breakfast that people say they have more better cognitive function. That goes against anything we know about how carbohydrates work. Carbohydrates give us energy. So this is also true for fasted workouts. So if you work out in the morning and you're wondering, like, should I eat before? If you talk to any sports dietitian, they're going to tell you to eat before. Like, Michael Phelps eats before his workouts. Athletes eat before their workouts. You need energy. If you're going for, you know, a 30-minute walk, are you going to die if you don't eat before? Probably not. But ultimately, your performance is going to be better with fuel than not having fuel.
Yeah. What do you eat in the morning if you're going to work out in a half an hour?
Yeah, I was going to say, because a person like me, and we've talked about this before.
You throw up, I throw up.
Yeah. So again, I have the privilege of working from home. I don't have kids. I make my own schedule. I wake up. I work out before the dog wakes up so that my husband has to take him.
Wait, and that's impressive. What time does your dog wake up?
My dog is lazy.
Okay.
Today he woke up at like 10.
Oh, God bless you.
Not to say that's lazy, but he's like, he's not up.
He's a teenager.
Yeah, he's a teenager.
Yeah. I long for that day.
It'll come.
My puppy wakes up at the ass crack of dawn. He's up before I'm up.
So. Grace wakes up at 5. Oh, and I have to wake up with her cat. And yeah. I know, I just
have to take her out.
You have to take her out, but
I don't have to take her out, but I have to feed
attention.
Her. And she doesn't just want hard food. She wants like a made breakfast.
Oh my God.
Shut up.
I love that.
She wants her pâté. Yeah.
I want my salmon pâté.
And she thumps
in the morning,
Mama. No, and the other day too, I fed her pâté and I told you my dad's been trying to make her a pescatarian. And she walked away from the food and she was like, I don't want fish anymore. And then I put chicken down for her.
She's
and she
intuitive.
Was like, thank you. Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
variety is the spice of a cat's life.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
So you have the luxury.
I don't like to eat before because I'm like just trying to like start my day. And mm-hmm. I like to sit and eat at my desk mm-hmm. after I've showered. So again, I'm not trying to break any records with my workout. I'm doing like a quick 30-minute thing. I eat kind of late at night, like I probably finished eating at 10 the night before. So I still have fuel reserves. Okay. Mm. And I drink coffee in the morning, but I drink it with milk. I drink it with a little sugar. So I do have like just a little bit, which is like the equivalent of having a banana, for example, which might be what if I was going on a long run, I would have like raisins or some kind of fruit that like that. If you're working out later in the day, that's a different story. You can't go all day without eating. Yeah. So I would say, see how you feel, see how your workouts are doing. And at the end of the day, it matters more what you eat through the whole day than before or after a workout and the fat burning zone and the anabolic period. All that stuff has kind of been disproved by science as far as like, if you don't eat within 30 minutes of your workout, there was no point of working out.
Yeah.
Your body will use it. Your body has a lot of stores of energy, of food, so it can tap into that. But some people feel really lightheaded when they work out without eating. Or like you said, someone with a blood sugar issue, if they don't eat before they work out, might be dealing with low blood sugar.
Yeah.
So in that case, I would say that, you know, don't go by what I do, but it's really up to you and how your morning's laid out.
Yeah.
Or I'd just like to eat around later 10 in the day. Usually.
Give it a break after your lunch, 2 hours. So there's still food in your body, but it's not going to like trigger any sickness.
Yeah. And it depends what time your lunch is. It depends what your career is. If you're a teacher and you have to eat with the kids at like they have to eat at 10:45 sometimes in the morning.
It's so inhumane.
You have to eat earlier. It's insane.
It's wild. It
just depends on your lifestyle. For me, I can have breakfast around 10. You know, I check my emails and I have breakfast and then like a couple hours later I'll have lunch and that works well. But for someone else, it might not.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think I would pass out if I went to work out with nothing in my stomach. But then again, I guess
that's how I feel too. That's why I'm like, it doesn't make sense in the morning for me at all. Because mm-hmm. if I go in with nothing, I'll want to pass out. If I go in with something, I'm want to throw up or will throw up. So maybe just move the workout down after
two meals
if you can. Yeah.
Right. Right. And it all depends on your schedule.
Yeah.
Is it normal for some people just not to be hungry in the morning?
Yes, but I would have you question whether that's a food rule or that's an actual real thing.
Yeah.
Because people say that a lot of times, I'm not a breakfast person. And like, where is that coming from? A, do you not like breakfast food? If so, you don't have to eat breakfast food
for
breakfast.
Food.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can eat anything else. And I think what Sammy used to talk about, her breakfast salads, like way back when. So like, but I love that idea. So that's one thing. The other thing is, are you overeating at night because you are so scared to eat in the morning and then you're not hungry because you're overeating at night and now the cycle continues. And even if you're not hungry, again, this is getting away from being intuitive until you can get to a point where you're truly intuitive and you're not playing those psychological games. Like, I'm not hungry, but it's because you think you shouldn't eat.
Right. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Because if you're eating a lot at night and then in the morning you're like, oh, well, I ate a lot last night. I'm going to wait a little bit longer because I don't need this. Then you're repeating that cycle.
Or you're trying to compensate for, oh, I ate a lot. Now I feel guilty. I don't need breakfast. I shouldn't eat breakfast. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole cycle continues.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people who, again, you're not in touch with your hunger cues. You don't even know where on that hunger scale, which is something that I think is pretty widely used for dietitians. We kind of talk about a scale of 1 to 10, and it's a little different for everyone, but wanting to be somewhere in the middle. And I think describing your own hunger scale of what does it feel like to be at the point where, like, if you don't eat something in a minute, like, you're going to pass out. That is a 1. And the 10 is, I feel so full, I have to go lay down.
What is the number where it's like your stomach,
where,
like,
you should start to get?
Sounds,
I think that everyone can, as a general rule of thumb, it would be helpful for people to start kind of tracking those hunger cues in hours. And, like, that has always been, like, how often should you eat? I know for me, if I go like 3-4 hours, I'm ready for a little something. And so I get ahead of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that partially is intuitive because, again, I've experimented with that, but it's also partially like using that intentional eating of, okay, if I wait longer than that, if I start cooking in 4 hours, then it's going to be 5 hours before I eat. And that's going to have been too long. So yeah, I think it depends. I'm sure there are some people who genuinely don't like to eat in the morning. And do fine. Like I have clients who decide they do want to, we don't call it intermittent fasting. We just call it like your first meals a little later because that works for their schedule. So that's fine. But I think that trying to break your meals down into just two big meals doesn't work that well for the majority of people. I'm sure there are outliers who it does.
Yeah. If you wake up and your stomach is immediately making the sounds, making the gargles, you are feeling hungry, does that mean that you didn't eat enough the night before?
It might mean that. And if you're starving every day when you wake up, you're probably under fueling to some extent. Somewhere, yeah.
Like okay. I had some, I don't remember who it was, but somebody was like, oh, I love the feeling of waking up hungry. And I was like, yeah. I hate it because like it puts a lot of pressure on me to eat immediately. And what if I'm like a little lazy in the morning? Or what if I need to go to the store to buy something because there's not enough in the house? Like that doesn't feel fun for me. That feels like, oh no.
Is it possible that person meant that they were just excited to eat breakfast? Like waking up excited to eat breakfast?
Maybe.
Because I do kind of relate to that. Like I do kind of wake up and I'm like, oh, it's my reason to wake up.
For sure.
To have my breakfast, you
but
know?
But it felt to me that it was like, oh, I like the feeling of having my stomach be like I feel it being empty in the morning.
Because yeah, that usually means that you went to bed really early, like your last meal was really early. That's why people like that intermittent fasting where they're like, okay, I've done it 8, then I wake up and, you know, I feel that hunger. Again, that's a little bit veering into disordered territory, likely.
Yeah.
That would be a red flag to me.
Would you say like the ideal state of being is really not
never being hungry?
Well,
no, I'm just kidding.
I mean, not never being hungry, but never like having to think too much about whether you need a meal, like, or whether you're deserving of a meal. Like,
yeah,
because
deserving is a huge
deserving is huge probably word. The wrong word. But what I mean is like. A lot, I feel like a lot of people put more mental math into it than actually needs to be done. Like if you're really tuning into your internal signals and your internal cues, then you wouldn't be thinking like, well, I ate dinner at 7. So like it makes sense that I would eat breakfast at 8:00 a.m.
Exactly. You know? It becomes natural. But I do think that most people, there's a period of relearning that does need to happen if you've struggled with dieting because you can't trust yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can't trust your brain because it's making up things and it's taking things it sees on social media and comparing like, oh, that person doesn't eat breakfast, so maybe I shouldn't. Versus like, this is genuinely what I need. So that's where, and something that I do with my clients is I really do talk, I talk about calorie and macronutrient awareness and having an idea of, let's say 30 to 40 grams of protein is your sweet spot. So we can do that without tracking everything that you do for the day. So once you have that, then you could break rule. Like, you don't need to be so stringent. If you have a meal without 30 grams of protein, that's fine. But you might know as a best practice, if I have dinner and it's like, you know, I'm only getting 10 grams of protein in there, I'm probably going to be hungry later. So I'll just have a bigger snack if I do get there. So I do think it can help people to have some sense of what those needs are. And I think we can move away from it just being about here's your calorie or your point goal for the day or these are the times you have to do it. But your body genuinely needs a certain amount to run. And if you're trying to get by on a lot less than that, your body's going to tell you in a all these different ways, feeling really hungry, having low energy, having poor brain function, being cold or binging that, or all of these types of things and the constant thought. So if we're kind of always in a place where we do feel like we're well fed, it takes some of that brain space away. And that's not to say that you can't enjoy food, because I think a lot of us, a lot of dietitians, we are foodies in a sense that we like really love it. And we're not embarrassed to say that. I had a client recently tell me she would never, she gets embarrassed to talk about how much she loves trying new restaurants to her friends because For her, it's something to be self-conscious about. Yeah. And for me, I'm like, it's so fun. And I love having meals with people when they're like, oh, you're a dietitian and you eat that. Like, I think more people need to see that and need to know it's okay. Like, it's okay to emotionally eat sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it does make you feel better, but sometimes it makes you feel worse. And you need to kind of know where that line is for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also trying new restaurants. I feel like a lot of people bond over that stuff. Yeah. Like, yeah, I always feel like I'm a little outcast because I'm such a creature of habit.
Yeah.
And like some people will be like, oh, are there any restaurants you've been dying to try? I'm like, no.
I'd rather go to Three Luigi's.
Same place. I've been there 72 times. For the last, yeah. Literally.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely agree. And the satisfaction factor is so important when it comes to food. Like eating for pleasure is part of being nutritionally conscious.
Yeah, holistically health. And that's like the mental and physical health where you can't talk about nutrition without talking about mental health. It's a huge crossover. And it's why many of my clients work with therapists and we talk all the time. And
oh, cool.
Yeah. Because I almost wish that it was required that we had a degree in both because there's a lot of crossover. But there are things that can be considered healthy. And I think you guys talked about it recently, the David Sinclair thing and how crazy that was.
I've never heard of that guy until that episode.
You know about that guy?
You know this guy?
Okay. Yeah. And the Harvard thing, that Harvard's been veering into like a little pseudoscience territory. So kind of, and you picked up on that, Emily. That over-optimization of health ultimately is usually not healthy. Anyone who talks about food and diet and nutrition all day, which I talk about it for my profession, but that's why I'm not the most popular person on Instagram because I can't, I'm bored of that. Like after a while, if it's all you can talk about, it's probably not, it's still taking up so much headspace. So I think that all of that like is the perfect breakfast, the perfect this, the perfect that, it's not realistic and it's probably not healthy.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Speaking of people who are way too focused on their intake and protein, because you brought up protein. You're saying 30 to 40 grams is like the sweet spot. Lately I've been seeing, I don't know if it's because I weightlift, so I've been getting a lot of targeted content. I've heard this number a lot. Like people have been saying, if you want to build muscle, you have to be eating your weight in grams of protein. So if you're 150 pounds, 150 grams of protein.
Yes.
Grams.
Like a bird.
No, that would be wild.
Birds eat their weight in food a day.
They do.
When you say eating like a bird, it does not mean what you think.
That's actually funny. But I've been seeing that number over and over again, like your weight in grams of protein. And I'm like, that's so much protein though. I can't build muscle if I eat less than that.
So the RDA, which is the recommended daily allowance. So this is the bare minimum that you need to function, it's actually pretty low. So for someone your size, it might be like 50 grams per day.
Okay.
Now that is baseline. That's not optimal. 1 gram per, so you hear a lot of time, 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. So if you're in kilos, you're going to divide 2.2 pounds. But then that is a decent recommendation, but it's on the higher end. So I say more like it's really actually per lean pound of weight, but most people don't.
Oh, now we're getting tricky.
Yeah. So I think it's an oversimplification just to make it easy for people. So as a way around that, I would say 0.7 grams per pound of body weight. And that's not to say that anything less than that is bad. I would say like very, very, very blanket rule, like most people would benefit from about 100 grams plus per day of protein.
Okay.
But I always tell my clients, if you're getting to 100 grams, we're good. You're good. If you want to get more, great. But 100 grams is good. And again, spread out through the day. And this is why breakfast can really be important, because if you only have two meals, you're like shoving chicken down your throat.
Yeah.
And that's why I like cottage cheese, because it's an alternative to eggs. I also like the dairy. People are okay with dairy now all of a sudden.
Yeah,
like,
isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Now, also the colostrum thing. Oh, like my people God. Are into yes. the colostrum. It's like, but dairy is inflammatory?
Yes.
Interesting.
Which is another thing with these trends. And you kind of see like everything contradicts itself. And it all comes back down to the basics, really, ultimately, at the end of the day. But I think 150 grams is a lot. You can still build muscle without that. But yeah, I would say most individuals will do well with at least 100 grams per day, of course, like give or take. But it's a pretty general rule. But that's where I get like that 30 grams, break it up amongst three meals. And I find it easier to get protein in during a meal because it's like other than eating a protein bar, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with protein bars, but a lot of people don't like them. They have a chalky taste. It's hard to get it in a snack. So snacks tend to be like easier to get a carb in. So yeah.
Yeah, there's one protein bar that I won't say the name of because I've said it 150 times.
No more free press.
It's the best. It's the best one. Amazon is going to sell out and I'm going to be fucked. Like I'm not going to be able to renew my subscription.
So what are your favorite breakfast go-tos?
Yes. So again, it depends if you're an egg person or not, because eggs are great. There's a lot you can do with them. But that's an example where people are like, oh, I had an egg. I'm good. Like an egg is not a lot of food. You need a lot more than that. So even if you do two eggs, it's still only 12 grams of protein. It's not really enough. So you can do eggs. I would say add maybe some egg whites in there for more protein, or like a chicken sausage, or even just like some turkey or ham.
Does protein more come from the whites than the yolk?
So you get more concentrated protein in the egg whites. So I'd like to just add it in for get volume. A little bit more in for more volume.
Cool.
And the yolk for flavor, for lutein, for other vitamins, minerals, fat. So, you know, something like that. But I think having at least a piece of toast with it, or a bagel, or an English muffin, or something like that to get fiber in, a fruit, an avocado. Let's talk about like quick things on the go. Starbucks breakfast sandwiches are great, but they're probably not enough food for most people for a meal. So
they're little.
So having that with at least like grab a banana while you're there, get a latte with regular milk or something like that. So get the protein from there and some carbs and fat, something like that. My favorite is overnight oats, but I like to, I like to heat them up in the morning and then I melt peanut butter on top.
Ooh,
so that I really, really like.
What do you put in it? Can you give us the rundown?
Yeah.
Like the night before, what are you doing?
It's an equal amount of oats, Greek yogurt and some kind of milk. So like almond milk, regular milk. And then I do a tablespoon of or two of chia seeds, because chia seeds soak up liquid and they make it creamy and thick. I like to use the peanut butter powder. So peanut butter powder can be super, like that brings me back to like Hungry Girl Diet Culture 101. But it's just peanuts that they press and then you expel the oil and what's left is this flour. So I like to put it in there because you get some protein and fiber. It also adds a lot of peanut taste. And then I like to, but it has no fat. So you need fat in your meal. So then I add regular peanut butter on top, melted. So this is an example of where sometimes like these bad, trendy things, they're not necessarily bad, but they are bad if that's all you're
by
eating.
Themselves.
And if you're thinking it's a replacement for regular peanut butter, you're going to be disappointed because it's not. It doesn't have the mouthfeel, but you can almost use it like a protein powder.
So the goal is just to add more of that peanutty-ness to it, but you're not eliminating the peanut butter altogether because you're putting it on top. Got it.
So then I heat it, and then I would add some usually like fruit, banana, or berries, or a mixture, and nut butter on top. I really like that. Something super easy that my clients have been loving is just like a cereal. I love Kashi or Three Wishes cereal with a protein shake, like a Core Power or Premier Protein, or if you're plant-based, Koya or O-W-Y-N-O-N, I think it
Owen,
is.
Owen, yeah.
Yeah, so use that as your milk instead for some more nutrition. Throw some berries in there, throw some nuts. You can make your own little bowl and it's easy cereal. Or you can use Greek yogurt as like instead of a milk. Cottage cheese is great. People love the two ingredient bagels. They do like cottage cheese with like a flour, like a self-rising flour. You mix it together.
Oh. Okay. That's a little industrious. I don't know if I could do that in the morning.
Yep. And then you can make them ahead of time. I like to do like a quiche or an oatmeal bake or something that I can make in one batch and just like cut into squares and take it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And those are good too. If you want to make them, you can have some bigger slices, smaller slices so that you can grab it for a snack if you want. So those are great.
A quiche is a great idea to make the night before too, because it's like, ooh, I get to wake up to a gourmet breakfast, but I didn't have to do anything. I just have to reheat it.
Exactly. Right.
And you could make them in like those little ramekins, like individually.
You can make like your own egg bites. So what you need for that is you need the silicone baking like muffin things, because otherwise it's going to stick. Mm. So if you get the silicone things from Amazon, those are great. You can make little quiches. You can make, if you have an air fryer or just in the oven, like breakfast burritos, and you can freeze them and then you just heat them up in the morning.
Smart. How do you feel about granola? There's a war on granola right now. I don't like it.
So people hate on granola. Granola is, it's more concentrated. So when you're talking about the weight loss space, people are going to say it's so many calories. Mm-hmm. Okay. But you can mix it in with other things. Like you don't need just one big bowl of granola, but it's a nice accessory and it adds a lot of flavor. So you'll notice that most granolas, the portion size is like a quarter cup or a third cup versus a regular cereal is more like one cup. And that's just because it's more dense, but you also don't need as much as you would just cereal. I like to mix regular cereal with granola to get, because I love the taste of granola.
Uh-huh. It's my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. And it's, to me, like allowing granola back into my life, that's the epitome of all foods fit, because it's like, you're so scared that there's all these hidden calories and hidden fat in the granola. What you don't realize is if you just have it all the time, you don't actually want to eat all of it in one sitting.
Yes.
Like I don't ever want to eat more than, a handful of granola. I just don't.
That's something I recommend too for anyone who's scared of something like granola or nut butter. That's something people are scared of because it's like a common thing that you could think about going overboard on if it's like at night and you're just going with a spoon. Try it in a safer environment, which might be breakfast for a lot of people is not really as big of a time where they go overboard. So first start incorporating those fear foods in to like a safer time. And then you might find that you don't go as overboard on them.
Yeah, we were talking about lunch foods for breakfast. You could have a PB&J in the morning and that's really easy.
I love that.
That feels like a party.
Yes.
And like in the best
way. Yeah. Like get a bread, and again, it's not a good or a bad bread, but there are some that have more fiber, there are some that have more protein and better nutrient profile, so get one of those. Like there are a couple products out there, the Better Bagels that I love. They have 26 grams of protein. I have clients who really struggle, or again, vegan, vegetarian, they're gluten-free. It's a great way to get that in, and they're like, I don't want eggs, I don't want bacon or sausage or anything like that. So there are these products out there. Flat out protein wraps are great. I do like a roll up with peanut butter, berries, and make like an adult PB&J type of thing.
I love that.
Oh, in one of those protein wraps.
In like, a flatbread. You wrap it up.
Got it. Okay. I was going to ask you about breakfast ideas for lazy girls, but I feel like you
Some
already
of these
said
work.
A lot of
like the cereal with protein powder, like that could totally work.
Frozen waffles, and like you could do a PB&J on those. Like Kodiak Cakes makes a good one.
I love those.
Yeah, you can do that with the PB&J, would be great. I like cream cheese and jelly on them.
Do you?
I like cream cheese and jelly
too. That's good. Old school.
I grew up like eating that with Eggo waffles.
Mm-hmm. That's like cloudy with a chance of meatballs. Uh-huh. They have the cream cheese and jelly. I remember thinking that was
so weird.
It's actually
a good combo.
Okay, I'm going to
try
it. Try
it. Yeah. On a raisin bagel.
I love like the Trader Joe's potato latkes also with eggs.
Ooh,
like cut them up like a hash brown.
Yeah.
So are they frozen?
They're frozen.
You're cool with frozen foods.
Yes, I love them.
Could I have an Alfredo and chicken with broccoli pasta from Lean Cuisine for breakfast?
You can.
Great.
Sure. You could totally do that. I love taking
like the best. That's not the best though.
What if I want it?
If you like it, then you like it. Exactly. Then that's where I'd say, like, if you genuinely like the Lean Cuisine, totally fine. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just small. And
there's less calories. Like, I genuinely like a Lean Cuisine.
Yeah,
like
my mom's like obsessed with their butternut squash ravioli.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Okay. But yeah, I think frozen foods are great. And again, we're trying to move towards better, not perfect. Mm-hmm. And frozen foods make your life a lot easier. And there's nothing wrong with the, like, these ingredients. That is not what is killing us.
Mm-hmm.
Like these, like the one like war gum or whatever is xanthan gum that's in there. Like that.
Yeah. Maybe if you were eating it for every meal and every snack.
Yeah, because that would go back to like your just day is not balanced.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So what is killing us then?
Honestly,
I know it's a heavy question, but
I mean, as far as food goes.
Yeah.
So I think there are chronic diseases that are involved with food. So that's something that, again, we want to be aware of. We want to eat in a way that we can avoid diabetes, if possible, type 2 diabetes. And so there are things that we can do. But again, it goes back to having a balanced diet, having, you know, a good amount of protein and fiber, simple carbs, complex carbs, like no one thing. It's really your overall pattern of eating. So when people talk about red meat, for example, think of when they look at the studies of red meat, they're done. The studies show, okay, it's a problem if you're having, you're going to Peter Luger's every night and you're having like a big ribeye with, you know,
what a life,
cream spinach and three martinis and all that. Does the research hold up if you're making
a flank steak at home?
Right, exactly. If you're making a lean flank steak with a bunch of veggies at home and like a baked sweet potato and your overall diet is healthy, is this really a problem?
Probably not.
Yeah. And your blood work is good and all of that. No, so we, again, like not overdoing any one thing and trying to keep those principles of like more whole foods when we can, because those foods make us feel good at the end of the day. So if we can tune into what makes us feel good, a lot of that will work itself out.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So what other like breakfast things should we keep in mind? Like how much protein should we be getting in the morning? Like do I need to eat vegetables in the morning? Like that's one thing that I've wondered, because everybody says balance, balance, balance. But sometimes I'll go the whole day without eating a vegetable. And then at dinner time, I'll realize like, oh, I need to load up on my veggies because I just didn't have the chance to eat them all day. So is there a way to sneak that in?
There are ways to sneak it in, but I also wouldn't stress if you can't. A veggie, unless you're making like an omelet or again, like a non-traditional breakfast food, it's going to be hard to get veggies in. Of course, you can mix them into a smoothie, but fruit is also great. So when we think about veggies, what do we get from them? We are getting vitamins, minerals from the color. So every fruit and vegetable that has a different color has a different vitamin or mineral.
What?
Yes. So, for example, if you're having tomato, so ketchup, you're getting lycopene. If you're having a sweet potato or a carrot, you're getting beta carotene, which is good for your eyes. If you are having spinach, you're getting iron. So all of these different things have a...
That's amazing. Because I feel like I've always heard that you're like, you want to have a lot of different colors on your plates just because it's visually appealing and it's like nice, but it's also bringing in different nutrients and making it more balanced.
Yeah. So those are the main reasons. So fruit can absolutely give us that. The reality is in the United States, most of our food is fortified. So people aren't dying of scurvy if they don't have, you know, oranges. So like if that's something that's going to stress you out, I would give you permission to not. But I would also encourage you to try to at least get them in one meal. So if that's like a salad a day, you know, Jordan Syed always says his big ass salad to cover your bases, like have it so that you cover your bases. And then whatever the rest of your meal looks like the cottage cheese and egg noodles, I didn't have a vegetable with that. And I was fine. But vegetables do add volume. So for people who are, if you like to have a big bowl in front of you visually, you need that cue for your brain to feel full, then that's going to be something you want to prioritize.
And then as far as the vitamins and minerals that are found in fruits and veggies, do you think it's the same if you just take supplements, or do you think it's better if it comes with the stuff that you're eating?
That's a good question. Ultimately, it's better if you can get it through food, because the food also has all these other benefits. Like you're getting the water, you're getting the fiber, you're getting the satiety. But if you are concerned that you are, let's say you're a picky eater or you're a vegetarian or vegan and you're not getting B vitamins, a supplement can absolutely close those gaps. And just again, like, try to cover your bases with all of these things. But if there's something that you really can't get through food, a supplement can definitely help you. Supplements are a little tricky because we don't really know exactly what's in them. So if you're going to go with the supplement, something you want to look for is that NSF certification. You'll see it on the bottle. It means it was third-party certified. It's the best that we have at this point, because there is no FDA regulation for supplements.
Got it. So, is that because they're like cased in things, or is it it's just because it's not regulated?
It's not regulated as a food or a drug. So it falls into this.
It's a secret third thing.
And that's why there's a lot of supplements being thrown around on social media.
Because they're not verified.
It's the Wild West.
Wow. That's insane.
And so you do want to look for that third-party certification. And you do ultimately want to go with, that's where you do want to go with like a bigger brand. Because a bigger brand has more to lose. And they usually have a lot of kind of checks and balances in place. You know, Centrum is going to get in a lot of trouble if they're selling, you know, snake oil. But this small brand might not have as much at stake. And they also don't have the budget to third party test. So that's just something to keep in mind.
Okay, they also
that's
a don't good have tip. The lawyers.
And the lawyers.
True,
lawyer,
they can't pay the fees.
Yeah.
that's a good tip. So look for big brands and look for the NSF. NSF?
NSF.
Okay. And you should be able to go to any supplements website and in their FAQ, it will, if they have it, it will be there. Because they want to show it off.
Cool. I have a question for all of us. What did we eat for breakfast today?
The Aloha coconut almond chocolate protein bar with my coffee. The way, see, I'm the type of person that I do get hungry pretty much as soon as I wake up, and then I crave it. Like, I just love this protein bar, guys.
I need
it's
to
so
try
good.
It.
It's
yeah,
so good.
She brought one in for me. I liked it.
It's good.
And then I also, if I have a heavy breakfast, sometimes I won't get hungry for lunch until much later. And because of my schedule, I like to eat a fairly early lunch, so I'll have a bigger lunch.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, that's fine. That's my,
she had a nice lunch today.
Oh, yeah. I had chicken piquette with some string beans and like this really good sauce. It was from Trader Joe's. It was one of those pre-made meals, but.
I've seen it.
You've seen it. Those are.
It's newer, I think.
They never miss. Like, they never miss. I love their pre-made meals.
Alex, what did you have for breakfast?
I had overnight oats.
That's okay.
So this is your staple.
It's one of my staples. I go in, I also, I'm like a toddler with food jags. I get into like one thing for a while and then I'll be absolutely sick of it. I can't look at it. And then I'll rotate and I'll come back.
Yeah, that feels normal.
Okay. You, Remy?
I had a bacon, egg, and cheese. I asked for an everything bagel. They gave me a plain, but it was still good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I gotta say, bacon, egg, and cheese, I think the bagel is not the appropriate vehicle.
Whoa.
I think a soft roll is better 100% of the time.
I disagree 100%
with you. Really? You like it on the bagel better?
Yeah. And especially, I think it's disgusting on a croissant, even though I love a croissant.
It's not the right texture.
It's not the right texture.
It doesn't hold together as well.
Yeah. No, I like a bagel, except for not the ones from Dunkin', because if you get them and you don't eat them immediately, it turns into a brick.
Yeah, I mean, I would never eat a bagel from Dunkin'. I just feel like it's sacrilege.
Cool.
but is it like because the bagel feels sturdier?
No, they literally get hard.
No. I just mean with the bacon, egg, and cheese.
Yes.
The bagel, you want something sturdy to keep it
on. Yeah, and I want like a little bit more bread.
Okay, I feel
like that. I don't want the egg to be able to affect it in the floppiness.
Oh, the floppiness, yes. See, this is why this show exists, because we can all come together with our food opinions and reach, you know, peace and harmony with them.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So much. You have the whole list of breakfast foods and other food that you sent to me, and that is on your website?
Yes, I will make sure that it's on my website for you
guys. We'll try and link it below as well.
Okay, great. And where can people find you and follow you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram, AlexTuroff_RD, or AlexTuroffNutrition.com. You can find all the stuff. I have a lot of podcast episodes and videos and all that kind of stuff. So if you like education, that's where you can find me.
Amazing. Thank you again. You guys, that's it for today's episode. Be sure to send your questions to DST@Betches.com to get them answered.
Yes. Follow us at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram. And if you like this episode, please write us a review. And don't forget to check out our DST merch on shop.betches.com. Rate, review, and subscribe. And follow me at Lubination.
And follow me at Remy Casimir. And follow Alex. And remember, we're always with you
through thick and thin.
Ah! Yes!
Diet Starts Tomorrow is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Aliza Zinn. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Aliza Zinn. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander.
Be sure to follow Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to dst@betches.com or your voicemails to 212-287-5650.
Thank you to our partner, Impossible Foods. Some people say we would be better off if we ate less meat, which is why Impossible Foods made delicious and nutrient-packed meat from plants. So you can eat more meat, like home-style meatballs, hot dogs, chicken nuggets, and so much more, all made from plants. Impossible creates delicious meat from plants that's better for the planet, so everyone can eat more of it. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com.
Betches.